from Centers for Spiritual Living for this month has been, we value, embrace, and celebrate the individual uniqueness and contribution of all people as they express through differences of gender, ethnicity, culture, history, experience, talents, and sexual orientation. This is called inclusivity. It's called not only tolerating, we've moved far beyond that, but celebrating the oneness of life that manifests itself in so many beautiful ways. This wonderful flower garden of humanity is exquisite in its commonality and its unique expression in every way. So today is about in accord and with sacred agreement. Ernest Hobbes says it should be considered right to live and to enjoy living. Can we agree with that? It should be considered right to live and to enjoy living, to be well, happy, and to express freedom, and to be in accord with divine law and wisdom. So entering into an authentic agreement with life is an important thing for us to decide to do. And it is a conscious decision, because it often we just sort of, you know, go along like the little sailboat bobbing around in life. And if it doesn't have the sails filled, and it doesn't have the rudder attached, it's just going to bob along. You and I are like that in that we always have the tiller. We always have the ability to fill our sails. We always can move in the direction of our dreams. Or not. Have you noticed that there's a lot of little boats bobbing around out there? Don't be one of them. We want to be the folks who remember to make the decision to be in agreement with divine life, because it is in such willing union with the universe, and we're already in union with the divine, but we forget, you see. We just have a little spiritual amnesia from time to time. And we can awaken to that. We want to wake up, and we want to help other people wake up. So when we're aware that we are in union with the divine, with the universe, and we become open and we become receptive to a great and growing good. You're like a great and growing good in our lives. Say amen. That's what I thought. So the perfect plan for us, you know, it's been asked, well, what's God's plan for me? It's for you to decide what it is, right? We have all of the possibilities. And it's not as though there's something that says, okay, now Joe is supposed to do this for the rest of his life. He got to choose in the very beginning, and he continues to choose every day, about what's the right and perfect direction to go today, and how can I be in agreement, how can I be in accord with divine life in such a way that I'm going to create a sacred agreement for myself and move in that direction. And that's what we're all here to do. That perfect plan for us emerges magnificently the moment we cease struggling and relax into the calm, peaceful assurance that God is for us, that the universe always says yes, that it is up to us to determine the direction we choose to go, and to be able to do that in such a way that we are in harmony with other people who are choosing to move in that same direction here. Oh, for instance, us. For example, this spiritual community. So the presence adores us and the law responds to us. What a great deal we came in here with, right? The presence adores us, and the universe, through the law of cause and effect, responds to our belief. So let's not have more complaints, only constructive, creative ideas and actions as we move elegantly, elegantly into that holy flow of life as it really is designed to be for us, and we can live it fully. You know, in the Bible, we read a lot about covenants, beginning with the Hebrew Bible, which we call the Old Testament, but it's really the Hebrew Bible. A lot of covenants. And in the Bible, a covenant is about a covenant between God and his people. Well, we have a little different kind of God than that. It doesn't matter what you call God, but we don't usually say him because it often evokes a picture of some big man with superpowers up in the sky. Maybe having a little black book that writes things down so that you know, we don't do that. Or bestows favors upon the deserving. No, we have one life, one divine life, one sacred holy presence, and it is God expressing in, through, and as each of us, because each of us was created out of that one and only life. And even the scientists will now tell us that you're made out of star stuff, that there has been this wonderful creative divine substance forever and ever, and that as the stars burst and sent their sparkles around, that we received them and that we all have this one life that we're sharing. And so that we are one with all people, we're one with all sentient beings, we're even one with the very atmosphere. When we recognize that this is not separation but unity, that this divine life wants to manifest itself so beautifully in through and as all of us, then we're ready to step up and make our own covenant. Make our own covenant with our greater self. Remember the Ten Commandments? Somebody said, no, they're not the Ten Suggestions. They're wonderful ways to live. And as a matter of fact, remember when Jesus came along, he said, there's only really two you need to think about and live from, because can't you imagine if those two were lived, really lived, to love the Lord thy God with all thy strength and all thy heart and all thy being, and then to love your neighbor as yourself, how could you ever do anything to harm another person or yourself? The commandments were given, must have been given at a time that was needed to sort of get people to line up, because you know Moses had a heck of a time getting them to move from Egypt out into toward the promised land. And just as Mary was singing this morning, you know, he never made it to the promised land. It was all he could do to herd these cats. And they were always complaining. And I had a rabbi friend one time who said, the word actually is murmuring. The Israelites were always murmuring. And so we want to stop our murmuring, right? That's an agreement we might want to decide to make. So if we love that divine presence, which loves us unconditionally and continually with all of our heart, all of our being, and we love our neighbors, no matter what color, size, shape, orientation, history, future, plans, no plans, whatever they may be doing or not doing, if we love them as ourselves because we recognize that that divine being, and each person is a divine being, shares that truth that there's one life and we share it and we can live it beautifully. When we recognize that, then we're not going to hurt each other, and we're not going to be misunderstanding each other, and we're not going to be making terrible rules that shut people out instead of embrace them and bring them in. I love these kids, things that kids say. And I remember having seen this some time ago, and then one of our beloveds sent it to me, a whole list of them, but one that popped out was one little kid said, you know, if Cain and Abel had had separate bedrooms, they might not have killed each other so much. So much, right? Kids say the darndest things. I have sacred covenants. I create sacred agreements. I've done it for years. I created a sacred agreement, a sacred covenant, when I wrote my book, what I wanted it to be in the world. I have always written sacred covenants for myself about my next steps, whatever they may be, over the years. Interestingly, I had written a sacred covenant with myself when I had moved from California to Florida, and it was my next steps in ministry. Here I am. When we get very clear about being in accord with divine life, recognizing that we have within us a power that's greater than we of ourselves could ever be, and that we're here to speak our word and to create a mental equivalent, a spiritual prototype of what is next, at the same time that we're surrendering to the greater idea that's going to be bigger than mine anyway, then this kind of sacred covenant will be the support that lifts us to the next beautiful iteration of our lives. When I first came here in 2014, simply to do some work for you folks, for just a weekend, you know, a weekend has gone into 2.5 years. But that weekend, when I came up to work with your leadership and people who wanted to participate in creating a sacred covenant for your new minister, we worked together. Oh boy, did we work together. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, forever. And we created a living document, one to which we can add at any time. Let me share with you. The Greater Philadelphia Center for Spiritual Living, who we are, a welcoming spiritual community inspiring personal transformation and positive change in the world. That was already your statement. We are focused on creating a world that works for all. We added that. The Sacred Covenant, our purpose, freedom, our vision, lovingly awakening and joyfully living in the freedom of truth. Our intentions, to share, learn, and live the science of mind as an ever-growing community. To embrace our greater good through the revelation of truth. To be a loving and supportive spiritual community. To honor and celebrate the love, joy, wholeness, harmony, and freedom within ourselves and each other. To have and enjoy prosperity, success, and financial abundance for our center and all who are called to participate. And last year, we came up with the purpose statement that's over there on that wall. If you care to say it with me, I'd invite you to. Living, loving, learning, spirituality that works. Now, the greater organization, I mean, we're a great organization, but we're part of a larger organization, Centers for Spiritual Living. For a long time has been our purpose is to awaken humanity to its spiritual magnificence. Now, don't we have to start by awakening our own and then the rest of humanity? It all begins right here. Our vision is a world that works for everyone, a world that works for all. And our mission is to provide spiritual tools for personal growth and transformation. All of those things are part of a covenant, a sacred covenant, a sacred agreement. Do you realize we make all kinds of agreements, and most of them aren't too sacred? We've just finished another class that we did on the four agreements. How many of you are familiar with the four agreements? It's a wonderful book. It's a wonderful way to live. And I love that more and more of our spiritual community right here are choosing to live by the four agreements. Be impeccable with your word. Don't take things personally. Don't make assumptions. And always do your best. When we're being impeccable with our word, that in itself is a sacred agreement. And Don Miguel Ruiz, who wrote this book, expressed to us in the very first part of it that we've made some agreements that we'd rather not make, and we probably didn't even know we were making them. We made agreements when we came into this world with the people around us in order to agree with what we needed to agree with to survive, because they were bigger than we were, and they are the ones who had the food. It's necessary. And then, when we begin to mature and discover that some of the agreements that we made, like, oh, I have to please you, aren't necessarily healthy agreements for us or anyone else, we can change the agreements. That's what this wonderful Four Agreements is all about. I can change it. But first of all, I have to understand, I have to observe what it is. Until I observe within myself the things that need to be changed, the things that I thought were true but never were, I'm just going to continue to go along believing those things and acting as though they were true and they're not. So now I want to stop, look, and listen to something more divine within me that really, really is ready to help me change those agreements and create sacred agreements. When I am in accord with divine life, when I'm in the flow of life, when I understand that this beautiful love of the one for all is always available, that everything is already given, all I need to do is open up my heart and my mind, my consciousness, and accept it, and then I realize that there is a law of cause and effect that responds to me according to my belief. Say it with me, belief. Not my hope, not my wish, but my belief. I want to change my belief to make it more in alignment, more in accord with the universal truths. Then I can speak a different word within myself, whether it's audible or whether it's within my own heart and mind, and I can begin to come up with a better agreement. So the impeccability of my word, peccability, is the opposite of impeccability. What's peccability? It comes from the Latin, and see, that wasn't my field, but I know a little bit about it. Peccability, okay, peccare means to sin. Sin. We don't speak that very loudly around here. Sin! See, it makes them get up and leave when we say that word. If I could have heard that, if I'd still stayed at the Baptist church. But we know that sin is only a mistake. It's the ancient Hebrew word was tzin. The transliteration would be T-Z-I-N, tzin. And it really tells you what it's about. It was like, it was an archery term. It was the arrow that didn't make the bullseye. Tzin! So what do we get to do when we see we made a mistake? Is that, well, of course, we make light of it because it's important not to get ourselves too upset about it. And you know about that one. I'll tell you that later. But we don't want to take it in and go, oh, no. In fact, I'll tell you that right now. Most of you know, those who don't know, you're going to join with the congregation one of these days in doing that every time I say I made a mistake. Okay. We went to the circus last week, by the way, and there were clowns, but they weren't like they used to be. You know, they used to have these great, big, long shoes and a big red nose, and they would do ridiculous things, and they'd crack each other up, and they'd come and they'd trip each other, and they'd come and honk your own nose and that kind of thing. Well, those of you who know this can do it with me when I get to the punchline, okay? The clowns, the circus bow is what they do. When they make a mistake, which, by the way, they do on purpose, they don't go like we go sometimes. You know, the body language changes. We get all scrunched up like, oh, no, I made a mistake. You know, I spilled the eggs all over the floor. Next time you do that, do the circus bow. And the circus bow is like this. Ta-da! 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 I made a mistake. All right, so. Now we get to the point where we want to be impeccable with our word. And if we find that we have said something, maybe we've entered into something that is poisonous, It's called gossip. If you find you have spoken out of turn, if you have said something to someone about someone else, because we don't want that here. Just in least in your own mind go, ta-da! I won't make that mistake again. Because it's love we want to share with each other, not gossip. So being impeccable with our word means I'm not making a mistake in what I say. That doesn't mean that we have to be super vigilant, like, oh, I better be careful. No, that's just becoming from love. Let's make that sacred agreement that we come from love. And then what we say, what we think, what we feel is going to be in alignment with that. It will be in accord with universal truths. And then we form that sacred agreement not to take things personally. Is that a big one? Have you noticed that's kind of a big one sometimes? Aldous Huxley's wife, Laura Huxley, many, many years ago wrote a book called You Are Not the Target. Isn't that a good idea to remember? You are not the target. Something came out of somebody else's mouth. They weren't being impeccable with their word. Can't help it. It's going to happen. People are going to say ugly things sometimes. Sometimes every day. Don't take it personally. Can we make an agreement that we will take the fourth agreement right now? Always do our best not to take it personally. And I love that that's a fourth agreement, because it's simply, I'm going to do my best to be impeccable with my word. I'm going to do my best not to take things personally. I'm going to do my best not to make an assumption. You know what happens when we make assumptions? We can really get into a lot of trouble. And that could be fun, but in this case, it might not be. Because it's tied in with the not taking it personally. If you say something to someone and someone hears it differently than you meant it, they're going to make an assumption. They're going to take it personally. Don't us do that. Let's we do our best to be truthful with our word, to be as loving as we can, but clear, to stand up for truth, for justice. We just met with the ministerium last week, that wonderful mainline ministerium, our clergy association here. It was so beautiful. There's a new imam now at the Islamic Center, and he was all dressed in his whole regalia. It was quite impressive and sweet, sweet. The man's from Egypt, very dear. And Rabbi Michelle was there, and many, many different denominations. And it was so dear. From St. Luke's, they brought a big, not a plaque, it was material, it was beautiful, that they had all made from their center. And it was about standing together. It was about being in agreement for people to love each other, to respect each other, to greet each other, to welcome each other. It was beautifully done, and many people in the congregation signed their names. And our friend Muhammad, many of you have met him, and the imam were so, so touched by that. And there's a big heart in this ministerium. Many different ways to believe, but a big heart. We care about each other. We care about each other's communities. We can live from these sacred agreements that we make with ourselves and then with each other. There's something wonderful about having a sacred covenant within ourselves and between ourselves, among ourselves. We have a lot of good work to do in this community. We have a lot of great work to do in this world. And we're starting right here because we love and support each other. Two people went to the hospital this week, and people were right there loving and supporting and doing what needed to be done, including taking care of the dog to make sure that a neighbor would take him in. this is what we do here for ourselves, for each other. And this is what we're ready to do for a greater community. We're powerful. Why? Because there is a great power for good in this universe, and we're using it. It's not just that we can use it. We are using it. You know, universal laws have always existed, and they will respond to us as we learn how to use them. Don't you know that we had to learn about the laws of aerodynamics before we could start putting anything up in the air? Aren't you glad that that was finally figured out? It would take a really long time to get to Minneapolis or Duluth or San Francisco if we didn't have airplanes, which then ultimately led into our space travel. But we had first to learn how to use how to understand and then how to use the laws of aerodynamics in order for that to happen. Same way with electricity. And if we make some mistakes along the way, we just better keep making them until we get it figured out. What was it, 999 times that Thomas Edison had the experiment of the electric light bulb? And he said, well, now I found out 999 times it won't work. And ultimately he did. And we were just at Mount Vernon yesterday. Who's been to Mount Vernon? Oh my word, what a place. It was amazing. And we found out that Thomas Edison put the first electric lights in their house at Mount Vernon. Did you know that? Little known facts. The laws of electricity had, of course, had always been in this world. We had to learn how to use them. We had to understand first. Seek first to understand. Does that ring a bell? Seek first to understand how to use these laws. Now, the law that we use is a metaphysical law, which means it's beyond the physical. But aren't all laws invisible? Can you see the law of gravity? No, but you can see what it does. And that's how we get to stay on the planet. So we are learning about how these laws work, and we're employing them intelligently, creatively, and lovingly. So, from the laws of aerodynamics and our study of them, we learned about flight. From the study of electricity, we learned about light. So first we must understand, and then we must agree and cooperate with it, and then we utilize it successfully. Something else we do right here, which just thrills my heart, and you did it before I ever came, and we continue to do it together, is our care groups. In the care groups, consciously aligning and realizing enthusiasm, consciously aligning and realizing enthusiasm. That's what every care group is about, no matter what it may be, whether it's a cooking group, whether it's the band, whether it is about reading books or caring hearts for the people within our community. So many beautiful care groups that continue to grow and expand. We have the three new ones already that people are excited about. What do we do in those care groups? Well, first of all, we have sacred agreements. There are agreements about meeting on time, showing up, about holding everything sacred that is said in that care group and not taking it outside ever. And that's about being impeccable with our word, isn't it? There are so many beautiful agreements that allow us to become aligned to make sure that it is a successful. It's a very workable group. It really works. And people love each other, and people are bonded. And then come here on Sundays or come to our other activities and celebrations with a sense of already being in community. These small groups. Just add to the enthusiasm and the success of everything that we do in our individual lives and in our spiritual community. So we're living this. When we are agreeing to the love divine and the intelligence of the law at work, when we are relaxing into the grace that lets the law work, and when we are eliminating negativity, the flow of genius increases. Do you understand? Do you really know? Do you finally get that you are a genius? A genius. You get that? Why? Not because you made that all by yourself. It's not like the little boy whose father's boss was coming to dinner. And this fellow was sort of a harumph, egopotamus, like we talked about last week. Really thought he was in charge of the universe. And apparently the little five-year-old boy's father had said something or one or two things at the dinner table in the past. So here comes the boss, and the little boy is entertaining him in the living room while his parents are getting dinner ready. And so the little boy goes up to the man and he says, "My daddy tells me you're a self-made man." And he said, "Yes, Sonny, I certainly am." I said, "Why'd you make yourself like that?" But see, we didn't create our genius. We came in with it. I don't know what each of us has done. I know what I have, and I'm not telling you all about it. But what each of us has done over our lives to cover up that genius, to act in silly, stupid ways sometimes that we regretted later, but we learned something from it. Ta-da! But the genius you came in with is still so alive, so vital, so ready and willing for you to take it to the next step. It will never, ever go out, that divine light that you have within you. It is always ready and willing and able. So the agreeing, the relaxing, the eliminating, it comes into an acronym. I don't do acronyms very often, but this one just fell right into place, and it's R. Who are you? What are you doing? Agreeing, relaxing, agreeing to the love divine and the intelligence of the law, relaxing into the grace that lets the law work, and eliminating the negativity in order for the flow of genius to take place so that we are in accord with life and we continually create sacred agreements with ourselves. Lifting the consciousness. And you know what happens when we lift our consciousness? All the people around us get theirs lifted as well. That's just the way it works. I didn't create that, but I'm grateful for it. Other people in your life key off of you, key off of me. And when we bring a consciousness of love and workability, when we bring our genius out into the world, people are going to discover their own geniuses as well. So again, we're going to move from the love of power to the power of love. Will you say with me, I live in sweet accord with the universal presence of love and law. I desire only the highest and finest for myself and all beings. And so, my beloveds, beginneth our lesson.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. We love having such a special means of connecting with you and trust you have enjoyed this message. If you have benefited from and been uplifted by these ideas and would like to learn more about our spiritual community, please go to our website at cslphilly.com. And if you wish to express your gratitude, simply click on the Donate button to experience the joy of conscious giving. Your generous support makes it possible to share these messages of inspiration with all the world. Please share this message with anyone you feel might benefit, and encourage them to subscribe to our podcast by searching GPCSL on your favorite podcasting application. Again, thank you for joining me and the Greater Philadelphia Center for Spiritual Living Community, as together we create a world that works for all.